your host for the next hour. And wherever you are, I hope you're doing so well and everything is going just so smooth and so perfect. We start off this hour's program with Spotlight, a daily program which covers the most important events happening in the world today. So if you're interested in knowing more about today's world, I guess this is your program. After that, we have Let's Recite the Quran. The program teaches eloquent recitation of the Holy Quran at level 2, but still we can learn a lot more about how to recite the Holy Book of Quran. So let's get buckled up to learn more about the recitation of the Holy Book of Quran. A to Z of Life will be our final program this hour. The program presents an Islamic Iranian lifestyle and a variety of ways making use of the ayahs of the Holy Quran, as well as inspirational poetry and stories. And I guess this would be a lot of fun. I hope you're doing well up until now. Yes, this is Iran Radio. Stay with us.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Now, the world just witnessed an unprovoked, unwarranted, and unjustified aggression by the U.S. and Israel against the Islamic Republic of Iran, an act of aggression based on delusions, a 40-year campaign of demonization supported by absolutely no legal mechanism. And the irony here, Americans now want to talk, along with the Europeans, talks that were already underway and abandoned while 12 days of aggression were carried out against Iran. And now parties to this charade want to talk again. Iran's position, we can talk, we can fight, we are prepared for either. Our diplomatic door is open, but every time you step in, you will respect the country's right to enrichment within its civilian nuclear program, a missile defense program, and a space program. And these are some points we'll be discussing in tonight's Spotlight program. And now joining us is Mr. Mohsen Naqvi, activist and commentator. Joining us first is Mr. Masoud Shajadeh, chairman of Islamic Human Rights Commission, joining us out of London. And Mohsen Naqvi, activist and commentator, joining us out of Houston, Texas.
Is the Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
All right, we're going to start with Mr. Mohsen Naqvi, joining us out of Houston. Mr. Naqvi, pleasure to have you. There you are. Pleasure to have you on. Hope you're safe and doing well out there in southern Texas. Now, these condescending U.S. and European talks, invitation for talks over the years. Let's talk towards some kind of resolution. But during the talks, let's impose simultaneously more sanctions against you while we are talking, make all kinds of coercive threats of either military action, more sanctions to come, freeze your money in banks across different countries, capitals, and banking systems. And there's always some kind of coercion. And these have been always the kind of talks that Iran has been invited to the table by the West.
Yes, good afternoon, and salam to all your audiences. Yes, I mean, the United States and usually European powers, they've always tried to coerce and impose what they want from the global south, and specifically with the Islamic Republic of Iran. We've seen these the JCPOA talks happening since Bush was in power. We've seen this happening under Foreign Minister Zarif, under President Rouhani. We saw things happen under Agha Raisi, and now under the current government as well, where consistently the United States of America has broken all diplomatic ties. They've gone back on their word consistently. And this is why Ayatollah Khamenei, Imam Khamenei, has never encouraged these nuclear talks, especially in the past. But then this is what the country wants. That's what their representatives are and were trying to pursue. But yet again, we saw how the West, specifically the U.S., deceived and broke all diplomatic ties by kind of almost puppeteering these talks and almost lying and deceiving in saying that there will be no attack on the Islamic Republic of Iran. Trump admittedly admitted to this deceit and said that this was meant to be a distraction so that the Islamic Republic doesn't expect an attack by the Zionists on their nuclear facilities. So how does one go forward? The only reason that the U.S. are now willing to sit down and negotiate is because the Islamic Republic of Iran was able to show their might and were able to create a deterrence, not just against the U.S. empire's ally and puppet in the West Asia region, Israel, but also because they were able to deter the U.S. empire from attacking them after they attacked them on their nuclear facilities. So, yeah, freezing of bank accounts, sanctions over sanctions, these deceitful talks, this is all a facade, and it is quite clear to the world now. And this strategy of strategic patience that the Islamic Republic of Iran has had to adopt is primarily to win the soft war, to win the war of narrative. The Islamic Republic of Iran has been in this dilemma since 1979, whereas no matter what it does, it is critiqued by the West, by the world, even by the masses. But now, after they took a stance for the people of Gaza, for the people of Palestine, and they attacked the Zionist regime, yet while showing strategic patience and following international law and the norms of war, there is now a sense of respect that the masses and the world have for the Islamic Republic of Iran, which we really haven't seen before. So not only has the Islamic Republic of Iran won the war militarily, whereas the Zionists and the empire weren't able to achieve any of their goals and objectives, but they were also able to further the soft war, the war of narrative that the Ghazans had already won, and now the Islamic Republic of Iran has also managed to win the hearts of the masses of the world, of the free world.
Thank you, Mohsen. It seems like we now have Mr. Masoud Shajada joining the conversation. Welcome to our Spotlight program. Mr. Shajada, always a pleasure joining us out of London. And your initial thoughts, please, as well. As we have the U.S. and Europeans saying, now let's resume talks. Let's try to put an end to the conflict and the aggression. This is after they allow Israel. Now, when they don't condemn, it might as well have been some kind of allowance put forth to basically carry out an aggression that left nearly 1,000 Iranians dead, 60 military commanders and scientists, and for the most part, a civilian population, almost caused a nuclear disaster that could have affected over 30 million Iranians, Mr. Shajadeh, and now we're able to resume talks if Tehran would like. How condescending is that?
I think it's laughable. I mean, really the Western nation under the leadership of the United States, have been exposed in the last 2 years, almost 2 years, in their persistent support of genocide, illegal occupation, and apartheid, to the extent that they have gone against the interest of their own people. They've gone against the concept of democracy in their own countries. I mean, the reality is that overwhelming majority of people in the West, including United States, are indeed against this war. They are against supporting this genocide. But nevertheless, these champions of democracy and morality and democracy are undermining all their principles, every single one of them, deliberately, so openly, so publicly. So why is it that we are surprised and that they are behaving like that right now? They are there to make sure that this genocide will continue. They are not supporting international law. They're not supporting humanitarian law. They're not supporting democracy or indeed any of the principles. And it's very clear that they want to bully Iran and indeed all pro-Palestinians within their own nations and across the globe into submitting to this atrocity and this abomination orchestrated by Netanyahu and his extreme community. So I think the only thing is there left to do is for Iran to stay fast to the principles of justice, to the principles of humanity, to the principles of supporting those who are oppressed according to the constitution of Iran. And indeed, I think the whole world is also awakening to these realities. We are seeing, you know, be it in the largest concert in London, in Britain, and everywhere around the world, people are supporting the Palestinians. People are against this behavior of this colonial atrocities being committed and supported by a small group of politicians going against their own people. I think this is the reality that is taking place. And I think more and more people every day, every minute, every hour are awakening to these realities.
And I like that, how you put it, Mr. Shajad, the talks are just geared to want to bully Iran. And Mohsen, that brings me to my next question to you. Why is it that when we hear about these invitations for talks, we never hear one thing get highlighted here, and that is Iran's rights as a sovereign nation? We never hear adversaries that want to sit down and talk about what rights Iran has as a sovereign state to have a peaceful nuclear program, including uranium enrichment. If it's a civilian program and you can't prove otherwise, you have to basically agree that there's an inalienable right for the program to have its own enrichment along with it, to have a defensive missile program to protect the country, a space program, as any sovereign nation, many have space programs. Why is Iran in any way an exception? A right to oppose apartheid and occupation without getting dozens of sanctions as a result.
Well, that's because the NPT and the IAEA is essentially a biased body. These international bodies that are meant for equity, for international equity between nations, are biased towards Israel and the U.S. empire. We see how Rossi's statements have now changed over time. Iran has allowed the IAEA access. They've signed the NPT, the Non-Proliferation Treaty, and they've operated under safeguard agreements. Israel, on the contrast, has never signed the NPT. They've allegedly possessed over 80 nuclear warheads. They've never allowed international inspections on their land. Yet, the IAEA rarely mentions Israel's nuclear arsenal. It repeated public statements and reports pressurizing Iran even when Iran is operating within its rights under the NPT. So this is one of those perceived double standards that we see from the IAEA. A country outside the NPT and openly hostile gets a pass, while a signatory, which is the Islamic Republic of Iran, that cooperates, albeit unconditionally, is consistently vilified, unfortunately. During True Promise 3, Israel and the U.S. attacked multiple IAEA-monitored facilities in Iran, including Natanz, Fordo, and even Isfahan. But the IAEA issued no condemnation of these military strikes. Okay. These nuclear sites have been safeguarded. Yet nothing. This is the double standards that the Islamic Republic of Iran operates under.
Thank you, Mohsen. And Mr. Shajad of the Europeans, today the French President Emmanuel Macron, in a phone call with the Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian, said Europe is open to dialogue with Iran and hopes to play a positive role in trying to get back to some peace and order. This, while, if you very well know, the Europeans, as part of the IAEA Board of Governors, passed a damning resolution just 2 weeks ago and have been making all kinds of accusations and allegations that the Zionist leadership used as pretext for its aggression. They added tons of fuel to the fire, and now they're open for talks. After manipulating the IAEA, now they are ready for talks to try to bring about peace and order.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because it's so ridiculous. The reality is that what has emerged in almost last 2 years is the fact that Gaza had nothing to do with 7th of October. Gaza had nothing to do with the safety and the security of Israel. Attack on Iran has got nothing to do with the nuclear energy, let alone nuclear weapons. This is all about the politics that either everyone supports the atrocities and the right of Israelis to illegally occupy, ethnically cleanse, and be supreme, and countries accept their supremacy and adhere to their bullying, or indeed they are either terrorists or they are regimes, they are this, they are that. And you know, we are seeing this being played so clearly. I mean, there might have been some sort of illusion 2 years ago or even a year ago, but what has taken place? You know, look at what happened in Syria. You know, known terrorists identified as terrorists suddenly overnight become Democrats and they become legitimate leaders because they give in and they accepted the supremacy of Western policy and indeed the state of Israel. So really this is nothing to do with any of the issues, be it nuclear technology, nuclear weapon, safety of Israel, or anything else. It really comes back to the very simple thing that Bush the junior said, that you're either with us or you're a terrorist. And now we are seeing you're either with the West, which is giving the complete support militarily, politically, economically to the genocide to take place, or you are of those people who stand against genocide. So there is two sides of the history, and you know, people have to choose which side of the history they're standing. This is nothing to do with international law. This is nothing to do with democracy. This is nothing to do with negotiation or diplomacy. This is the bullying that is taking place, and it's very clear. If it wasn't clear, as I said, 6 months ago or a year ago or 2 years ago, now it's so clear that everyone could see, except those who are blind, both mentally and physically. So I think the discussion should now go on what Iran could do. Iran has to stand and defend itself and bring awareness right across the globe. And people around the world have to decide which side of the history they want to stand with.
Thank you. Mr. Shajeda there. And Mr. Naqvi, when Iran said it's abandoning, it's going to abandon its membership as an NPT member. And for viewers that do not know what that is, that's a non-proliferation nuclear, non-proliferation treaty. For those who don't know, it means you sign up as a state to oppose the production, the ownership, or anything to do with nuclear weapons. Tehran, obviously, as it's seen the IAEA being weaponized against it now, very much so exponentially as of late, has decided that it's going to leave the NPT. And then who do we get all the blowback and the criticism from? The same countries and the entity that are not signed up to the NPT, that do not, and that have shown to be extremely irresponsible with weapons of mass destruction in the past. They're opposed to Iran leaving NPT as a signatory. You cannot make this stuff up, Mohsen.
Yeah, I mean, it's without a doubt now, the way Rossi, without the way the IAEA has generally acted with towards a sovereign country that's a signatory to the NPT, to the Non-Proliferation Treaty. We saw how they acted when there was a close war between Pakistan and India, two nuclear power countries. But we saw the hypocrisy that they showed towards the aggression that was shown by a non-signatory, which is Israel, towards a signatory country, which is the Islamic Republic of Iran. So, I mean, let's be honest, the IAEA is a technical body, but it doesn't operate in a political vacuum. When the Board of Governors is dominated by Western powers, especially the US, UK, and France, their foreign policy will inevitably be shaped, will shape the agency's tone and its actions, unfortunately. So what we're seeing is selective outrage. When Iran enriches uranium to 60%, which it's legally allowed to do under Article 6 of the NPT for peaceful purposes, the IAEA issues urgent warnings. But when the U.S. signs nuclear deals with countries like India, a non-NPT state with the active nuclear weapons, the agency says nothing. That inconsistently breeds trust. And the fact that the world has not been pressurizing the illegitimate Zionist state for their nuclear sites to be inspected, the fact that the U.S., France, Germany, they have all remained silent, the fact that Rossi hasn't uttered a single word to critique Israel's nuclear warheads that the world knows for a fact that they have, shows the hypocrisy and the double standards under which the Islamic Republic of Iran has been operating. And this is why, and I quote President Pezeshkian as talking to, speaking with Macron, the French president, he says, the Iranian government, parliament, and nation believe the IAEA chief has failed to observe impartiality in dealing with the country's nuclear program, despite full cooperation on the part of the Islamic Republic.
Gentlemen.
And that's a quote. Thank you.
Thank you both. Time has gotten the better of us. Appreciate having you both on. Mr. Masoud Shajeda there joining us from London, and Mohsen Naqvi, activist there and a commentator joining us out of Houston, Texas. And this brings us to the end of your Spotlight program. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
It's like dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd. Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats the enchanting whisper. Why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name? Say, ditch the call and again play the song which repeats the enchanted whisper. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host, Mahdi, and as always, we're joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and I'd like to say my salam to the dear listeners of this program. I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you. Welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you very much.
Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, we're going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then, we will listen to a recitation of that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. So, please stay tuned. Today we're going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi. He was the first reciter in the Egyptian radio who was accepted as a radio reciter without being tested by the experts of recitation in the radio. When Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi became famous in reciting the Noble Quran, the radio requested that he would go to their studio in order to record his recitations. However, he, like his father, turned down this request. As a result, the radio director sent a crew to record Sheikh Muhammad's recitation in one of the gatherings he was attending. This was the first time in the history of the Egyptian radio that the radio production crew were sent to the place where a reciter was reciting the Noble Quran. Now, dear audience, let's listen to the recitation of Suratul Mu'minun, verses 84 to 89, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل لمن الأرض ومن فيها
Dear audience, what you just listened to was recitation of Suratul Mu'minun, verses 84 to 89, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq Al-Minshawi. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, the riwayah that was used in this recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq Al-Minshawi was mostly Khalaf an Hamza. This riwayah has a unique feature, and this feature is the sect that we have. Whenever there is a saken letter which is followed by a hamza, so you have to do the sect on the saken letter like this. For example, he said قُلْ لِمَنِ الْأَرْضُ لِمَنِ الْأَرْضُ. And sect, you should not take a breath when you make the pause on the saken letter. You shouldn't take a breath. You do this the pause, and without taking a breath,
you continue the airflow.
Yeah, you continue pronouncing the next letter. And also, in the long vowels, from Maddul Muttasil and Maddul Munfasil, you would also have sect, but this sect is optional. Okay, you could do it, or if you don't want to, you could not do it.
But you should be consistent.
Yes, that's right. You have to be consistent.
Could you give us an example of that?
Yes. For example, Sheikh Minshawi says, قُلْ لِمَنِ الْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ فِيهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ. See, we have a second
after
of the long
lengthening.
Vowel. Yes, after you finish lengthening to six vowel counts, just like Warsh. Khalaf an Hamza also says that you have to lengthen both Maddul Muttasil and Munfasil to six vowel counts. You don't have any other choice.
Those with the cause Hamza.
When the cause is the Hamza, exactly, which is Maddul Muttasil and Munfasil. And there are some other differences. For example, the other difference is that whenever Idgham of Nun Sakina takes place into the two letters Waw and Ya, no Ghunna is applied. This is another characteristic of this riwayah. So we had in verse 88, قُلْ مَنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ يُجِيرُ وَلَا يُجَارُ عَلَيْهِ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ. We don't make the pause on the waw with nasalization. This is for Khalaf an Hamza, and also Khalad an Hamza, the two riwayas of Hamza. So now let's talk about some common shared tajweed rules between Hafs and Khalaf.
Go ahead.
One of them is ikhfa. The ikhfas are all the same. For example, we have وَمَن فِيهَا, the first verse that was recited, verse 84, قُلْ لِمَنِ الْأَرْضُ وَمَن فِيهَا.
Nun sakina coming
Nun sakina followed by one of the letters of ikhfa. And so you have to apply ikhfa. How do you apply ikhfa? There are three things that you should do when you want to apply ikhfa. The
simultaneously.
First, all of them are done simultaneously, exactly. The three stages, we shouldn't even say stages. Three things that are done simultaneously. You get rid of the place of articulation of nun. You just forget about nun. You don't say man fiha. That's the first thing you need to do. The second thing you need to do is that you have to approximate the place of articulation of the letter of ikhfa that is coming after
the nun
sakina. You have to learn the letters of ikhfa and memorize them. But remember, in the Quran of the Uthman Taha script,
yes,
of the Quran, whenever the noon does not have a sukun written, And the letter after the Nun Sakina does not have a tashdeed, it means that you have to apply ikhfa. This could be one way of telling,
distinguishing
ikhfa from the other rules of Nun Sakina. So approximation, what does it mean? It means that you bring the articulators. Articulators could be the tongue, the teeth, the lips, anywhere, the root of the tongue. You bring it close to the place of articulation of that letter. Fa. Where is the place of articulation of fa?
This is a labiodental consonant,
actually. The upper front teeth.
And the lower lip.
Lower lip. So we have to approximate this place of articulation. Ma fi. As you can see, we don't place the articulator on the place of articulation of this letter.
Yes.
We don't say man fiha. We say man fiha. It's
there should be a slight space.
Yeah, exactly. It should not touch the place of articulation of that letter. But it should get really close to that, to the place of articulation of that letter. And at the same time, we have to make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. Ikhfa is one of the most difficult rules of Nun Sakina, and it requires a great deal of practice. And this is the way of applying ikhfa. The practical way of applying ikhfa is in this way. وَمَن فِيهَا, as you can see, we have nasalization at the same time. If you pinch your nose, we should still hear the sound.
But
why?
Not completely.
Yeah.
Because actually it's an oronasal.
Exactly. It's not sound. A completely nasal. It's not a fully nasal sound. It also, we have the sound coming from the mouth as well. Because the mouth, we haven't blocked the airflow in the oral cavity.
That's right.
So, وَمَا فِيهَا, but it's mostly in the nose. And we have other ikhfas in this verse. In kuntum, kuntum. See, we are approximating the place of articulation of ta.
And this example shows that ikhfa can take place both within a word and within a phrase.
Exactly. Unlike?
Unlike idgham.
Exactly.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
This is the Heart of Life pounding. Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, education of the woman. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, welcome to A to Z here on IB English Radio with me, Sister Zainab. And obviously this is a very important topic, educating women. And obviously we're aware that maybe in some countries it's difficult even for women nowadays to gain education, even at high school level or sort of, or maybe they're even being prevented from entering higher education, going to universities. But obviously we know that in Islam we have the opposite. So a woman is allowed to educate herself in the same way that a man is. And so it's very much encouraged, because women are very much encouraged to play a full role in society. So whether that role is, for example, raising the children, and obviously raising the children is obviously, if the mother has a range of knowledge, a range of experiences, has good sort of religious knowledge, also has other knowledge. For example, all these things she can pass on to the children and teach the children. So there's huge benefits. So there's benefits in terms of raising the good, pious children who will, in a sense, be the next generation to keep improving on the society. And then there's the other aspect that woman herself, if she does sort of step outside of the family, wanting to contribute, whether as a volunteer or in a paid role, she herself obviously cannot probably contribute even more to. So I'm just going to refer first to a little anecdote from the life of one of the martyrs from Holy Defense by the name of Manager Mauder. So for him, education of women, and in particular of his wife, in this particular anecdote was really important. So I'm just going to explain how for us. Welcome back to A to Z here on IB English Radio with me, Sister Zainab. And so obviously the topic is education of women. And I was just about to talk about how one of the martyrs from the Holy Defense, by the name of Manocher Mauder, found education of women so important. So he himself had actually left high school and he had gone to sort of work in a mechanic shop to obviously earn money to acquire skills. But he did actually continue to read, so he read very widely. That was really important for him. And then when he got married, he actually encouraged his wife to continue her education. And he would encourage her so much that he would sometimes even sit and watch her study. And he also brought her lots of books, and they would even read together. And obviously there's many concepts in here. I've already mentioned, obviously, in Islam, the women have a very high status anyway, especially mothers. We know that that heaven is at the feet of the mothers. We know that women are are also able to rise to the highest rank. There's no difference in terms of piety between a woman and a man if they keep moving along, gaining proximity towards Allah. And obviously we've got the idea of sort of just the I suppose a sort of generosity and kindness coming through there too. So for example, a spouse who is actively encouraging the wife to sort of, let's say, educate herself even more. And I do know examples of this. So for example, one wonderful lady I know who her kids were already sort of out of one was already just about finishing high school. The other one was, you know, in high school, so the kids are a little bit older. And she herself decided to sort of go and pursue her studies, continue them, take her master's, and then go on herself and become a teacher. So these are great accomplishments, and obviously for a woman in Islam who is able to raise her family and then also contribute in other spheres if she chooses to, this is something that obviously is praiseworthy, and it's one of the beauties in Islam, to be honest. So inshallah, these are just reminders for all of us, and I look forward to welcoming you to another episode of 8:30 here on RMB English Radio, and farewell for today. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A to Z. And for more information, please also visit our website at www.iranradio.ir.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 11,740 kilohertz for Southern Africa. An FM 91.5 megahertz for Iran. You can also listen to the English channel of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. You can also listen to the radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
Silence, a man was burning and keeping the light alive. A bone in his throat, a thorn in his eye. In silence, a man was burning and keeping the to tell his secrets to others.
Good night to you all. I hope you are doing so well, dear listeners. You are tuned in to Iran Radio Broadcast from Tehran. We start off this hour's program with our news bulletin. After that, we have Round the World with reporters. Listen to fascinating reports from around the world as reporters tell us what is happening in their locality. Well, I guess, based on what we're hearing these days in this very busy world, there will be a lot for us to know. Then it is time for Insights into the Holy Quran. The program presents a short exegesis or explanation of the ayahs of the Holy Quran. So it's a chance to dive between the lines and verses of the Holy Book of Quran and get more about the meanings behind each verse and each word from that holy book. And we round up this hour's program with Leader's Speech, presenting an English translation of a selection of the statements and speeches by the honorable leader of the Islamic Revolution.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Iran's President Masoud Pezeshkian has announced the law suspending the country's cooperation with the International Atomic Energy Agency. Another deadly day in Gaza as Israel continues to pound the Palestinian territory, including Khan Yunis in the south. A UN special rapporteur has criticized over 60 companies, including U.S. giants, for their complicity in the Gaza genocide. And welcome to World News. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Iran's President Masoud Pezeshkian has announced the law suspending the country's cooperation with the International Atomic Energy Agency. Pezeshkian gave final approval to the legislation passed by Iran's parliament last month that mandates the government to suspend cooperation with the UN Nuclear Agency. The law had passed unanimously and was subsequently approved by Iran's Guardian Council. Now, the legislation invokes Article 60 of the 1969 Vienna Convention, asserting Iran's right to suspend treaty obligations under exceptional circumstances. Now, the suspension of cooperation follows the recent military aggression by Israel and the United States targeting Iran's peaceful nuclear facilities. The cooperation will remain suspended until and unless Tehran receives guarantees for the safety of its nuclear sites and scientists. Well, a series of leaked confidential files have revealed that British intelligence operatives have infiltrated the International Atomic Energy Agency. Well, the documents show that a British MI6 agent has gathered sensitive information on Iranian nuclear scientists and facilities and shared it with the Israeli regime. According to the documents, senior MI6 operative infiltrated the IAEA in an effort to steer the agency towards endorsing Western claims that Iran was pursuing nuclear weapons. Now, the agent, identified as Nicholas Langman, is a veteran intelligence officer known for masterminding Western economic sanctions against Iran. The documents state that Langman led large interagency teams to identify and prevent the spread of nuclear weapons technology through technical methods and sanctions. This leak followed a similar one released earlier this June, showing that IAEA's Director General Rafael Grossi has been in close contact with Israeli officials. Langman's influence within the IAEA lends further weight to Iranian accusations that the international watchdog provided critical intelligence to the U.S. and Israel on the nuclear facilities they bombed during their recent military aggression against the country. Well, author and journalist Robert Fantina says the interference of some foreign intelligence agencies influenced the IAEA to unjustly criticize Iran, causing suffering for the Iranian nation.
Certainly this is a long-term ongoing and does involve more than just British intelligence. Of course, the CIA, U.S. intelligence, has been involved in Iran at least since the 1950s when it overthrew the democratically elected government in 1953. And there's no reason to believe that the CIA ceased its involvement and its interference in the lives of the Iranian people and their government since then. So the fact that this is just coming out now about British intelligence and its collusion with the IAEA, and the fact that it and probably the CIA, as you mentioned, have influenced the IAEA in condemning Iran, in criticizing it unjustly and unfairly, all leads to the illegal bombing of it by Israel and the United States. So this is more criminality on the part of Western governments who can